All right, in the few minutes that we have remaining, I want to draw your attention back to the book of Mark. Last week we were in chapter 8, tonight we'll be in chapter 7, and we dealt with the very interesting healing that took place in Bethsaida concerning a blind man that the Lord spat upon, and it was one of those progressive miracles because he asked the man, "Can you see?" And he said, "The men look like trees walking about." And then the Lord proceeded to take care of his woe. As the Bible says, he put his hands again into his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And we spoke about the fact last time that there are some things that we will never know, and it's okay. We don't have to know everything. That seems to be the pursuit of mankind today. We just have to have knowledge about everything. The big push today are the aliens. And where are they at? The Pentagon's got this special warehouse with aliens in it that have been captured and kept put away, and alien spacecraft. And so we must know. We must know if there's aliens and so forth. Well, you know, if God created another race, he didn't tell us. He didn't tell us whether he created another earth similar to ours or something totally different. And so we are working from lack of knowledge, but everybody's pursuing that right now. That's become a major theme. And then, of course, there are many other things that people are pursuing today, trying to know more about this or that. But there's some things in the Bible that we just don't know. Why did God, Jesus Christ, choose to heal this blind man in chapter 8 in the way that he did? And then in the previous chapter that we're going to look at tonight, in chapter 7, beginning at verse 31, it says, "And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon," by the way, this is in Gentile territory. I've heard several in my years of training and so forth say that Jesus only ministered to the Jews. That is inaccurate. That is not true. Both the books of Matthew and Mark clearly say that he went into Gentile territory. And as we're going to see here, he spoke Aramaic. He spoke their language rather than Hebrew whenever he speaks to this man. Notice verse 31. "He went to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. He came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude." Now, this is what he did with the blind man in chapter 8. He took him away from the crowd to heal him away from all the group. And the Bible says that he put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, which is, by the way, Aramaic. It's not Hebrew. It's not Greek. It's Aramaic. That's the language of this Gentile region, and which means be opened. "And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain." All right? He didn't have to go to school to learn how to speak. He didn't have to go to a speech therapist. All right? He was able to hear, and he was able to speak clearly. Can God do that? Absolutely. Could he do it to a Gentile? This man was not a Jew. He did it with a Gentile, and the man believed. And the Bible says, "And he's charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He, that is Jesus, hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." And I mentioned this last time. Why did the Lord tell this man, don't say anything to anybody? He just learned how to hear. He just learned how to speak. And the Bible says he spake plainly. How many of you would want to rush out and tell everybody? I don't know why the Lord decided to do that. He did that with this blind man in chapter 8. Don't tell anybody. That blind man didn't. He kept it quiet. We have no record that he told anybody, but here, the family and everybody, they rush out to tell everybody that he is healed. And it spreads, and the people respond, the Gentiles respond, this man doeth all things well. All right? They got it. He can make the deaf to hear, and he can make the dumb to be able to speak. And so these people understood and got it. I dare say that if that were to happen today, some people wouldn't get it. Oh, that's the work of the devil, you know. That's what some people would say. But I want us to think for just a moment here, in the few moments that we have left, about the world views that are pictured here in this passage of Scripture. And they speak to that. First of all, there's the worldview that says, that thinks only of the spiritual. Right? Only worried about the spiritual nature of mankind and seem to exclude the physical. And then there are those that think only of the physical. Only of this world and enjoyment of the physical and so forth like that. But do you know that the Lord Jesus speaks to both of them? And that's why tonight we went to prayer. And we prayed for those like Mike, who has a serious medical issue right now. And we prayed for others of our church family and those outside. And we've been continuing to pray for Allie and for others that have these ongoing issues. Why do we do that? Because we understand and know that God is not just concerned about the spiritual. He's also concerned about the physical, and that's why one day we're going to get a new what? A new body. We're not just going to remain spirits for all eternity. He's going to give us a new body that's not bound by the laws of this universe. There won't be any sickness. There won't be any cancer. There won't be any prayer requests when we get to heaven. Won't that be a wonderful day? You won't go up to Mr. O'Pager's house up in heaven and go by and visit O'Pager Lane up in heaven. I don't know if there's going to be an O'Pager Lane there. Maybe there is. I don't know. And knock on the door and say, Mr. O, do you have any prayer requests today? Won't be any kind of chit-chat like that. It's going to be praising the Lord of heaven. We will enjoy each other's company and there will be no physical problems. You know why? Because God is concerned about both the spiritual and the physical. And that's why we can pray. And here was this man who was deaf and could not speak. And his friends came to Jesus and said, would you please put your hands upon him? Heal him. And Jesus took his fingers and put them into his ears. All right? The Lord seemed to do things differently every time. I think that's a good thing to keep in mind. Jesus was not a one-size cookie-cutter God in human flesh, was he? He did it different ways. To the widow of Nain's son, he just touched the buyer, and the boy came back to life again. And they put it down on the ground, and he went off with mom. Jairus' daughter spoke the word, and she was healed. All right? In other cases, you find with Lazarus, he goes there and waits 4 days. And they say, oh, Lord, don't go over there. He stinketh by now. You think the Lord was concerned about that? No, he said, Lazarus, come forth. There are some that say if he'd just say, come forth, all the dead would have risen because of the might and power of our Lord and Savior. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. And that man who had been dead for 4 days came forth. And he was healed. He no longer had the illness that took his life. He was healed. God, through His Son, is concerned not only with our spiritual lives, and that's a major important thing. It was Oliver Wendell Holmes that said that some people are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. All right? I don't know how many of those there are there these days, because most people are so earthly minded, they're no heavenly good. All right? But God is concerned about your spiritual and He's concerned about your physical well-being. And He proved it here. Put his fingers into the ears of the man. And then he spit again. Three times he did that. I don't understand why. I'm going to give you my own opinion because it relates to the end of his ministry. And I think it was kind of a picture there concerning the Lord. What happened to him? Well, I don't want to jump ahead. So he spat and he touched. Evidently, he spat on his fingers and he touched the tongue. I remember as a kid that Dad always had a handkerchief. You have a handkerchief tonight? Okay. He's had one for 89 years. All right? Not the same handkerchief. At least I hope not. But I remember as a kid, my dad, he'd say, "Come here." And he would spit on his handkerchief. And sometimes, usually with us, it was our hair sticking up somewhere. And so he'd go, he'd spit on there, he'd do that. Or we'd have something on our face and he'd spit on it and he'd wipe it. And I would invariably, "Dad, that is gross." All right? And Dad would always respond, said, "Oh, you have a problem with my spit? Okay? You have a problem with my spit?" And then we would move on to something else, you know. It's just something that is kind of disgusting, is it not? But the Lord mixed his DNA with the DNA of that other human being, and there was a connection made. There was a connection made. That man's tongue was loosened, and he was able to speak. His hearing was restored. God, through his Son, had shown his concern for this man. I want us to think one other thought here as I conclude about our Lord and what he said. Look at verse 34. "And he, looking up to heaven, sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." I want you to look at that word, sighed. That tells us something about our Savior. What did he sigh about? Whenever a person sighs, all right, what does that mean? You know, I as a kid, you'd go to your parents and say, "I need some money for school." Oh. All right. How many of you ever got that response from your parents? Right. Oh, boy. And pull out their wallet, you know. That wallets were a lot bigger back whenever I was a kid. I mean, my dad's wallet was huge. He had PB on his wallet. Somebody had made him a leather wallet. And I don't know how in the world he was able to carry that thing around. It was huge. But he would do it and always, he'd put it, lick his thumb, and he'd go in there and he'd pull out whatever money we needed, you know, for this, that, or the other. But there was usually a sigh involved with it. All right? What does a sigh indicate? It indicates many different things. But I believe in our Savior, as he sighed, he was sighing at the human condition. He was sighing because he saw the results of the curse. Something that he did not have in his body. Amen? He was at all points tempted as we are, yet without sin, no curse. He had no earthly father. He had a heavenly father and an earthly mom. The picture here of our Lord sighing is encouraging to me, because it means our Lord is connected with us. He's connected with us. Oh, it's always sad to get the phone call. "Pastor Todd, would you pray with me? I just found out something today." I get that call a lot. Or somebody that I know from the mall program will call up and say, "Hey, would you mention in your church, or would you pray about this particular situation?" And they'll tell me, and I'll have prayer with them over the phone or something of that nature. And you just sigh at the trouble and the sorrow and the difficulty that people are going through. And all you can say is, "Lord, how long? How long will we have to continue with the curse of sin?" But I'm here to tell you that the sigh will one day become the shout. Won't that be wonderful? I've often wondered what it's going to be like at that moment, when there's the voice of the archangel, which sounds like a trumpet, the Bible says. What is that going to be like? Where are we going to be at that moment? when all of a sudden we hear this sound and immediately we're snatched up off of this earth. All right? We're taken up to be with Him. You know, people have all variously described, airplanes crashing all over the place and cars running into buildings and there being pants and shoes and underwear and socks and stuff left a little behind. I think our Lord's a little more powerful than that, don't you think? I think our Lord's a little bit more powerful than that. He can take us up there with our clothes on if He wants to. Why is it that we have to come up with all these different things, you know? And He can just make them disappear. Because the world doesn't seem to skip a beat after the rapture. There's no record in the Bible of this big wonderment about, what happened to all those people? It just seems like we just flow right along into the tribulation period. We flow right along to the lawless one becoming in power and all the things that go on with that. But you don't see this big worldwide uproar about the Christians that are taken up. So I think the Lord's going to do it in such a way that we won't be missed. That's my own personal opinion. He's going to snatch us up in ways that we won't be missed. As a matter of fact, most people say, good riddance. And we're seeing that in our country already. When you see Ohio wanting to codify abortion, and the majority of the people living there, this is a rural state, been mostly red state for a long time, but now they're wanting to codify abortion. It's going to be on the ballot this fall. You just like, you scratch your head. What's going on here? Notoriously red, but there's a shift that's taking place away from the Bible, away from the truth of God's Word. The sigh is going to give way to the shout of the trumpet, and we're going to be delivered. And then we're going to get our new bodies. What a glorious day that will be. We're going to pick up with this because I want to see a little bit about the spit and how it relates and this event that took place with this particular one. Looking into the future at Calvary, some of the things that take place there. I'll give you a little hint. What happened to Jesus whenever He was being tortured and beaten? The Bible says that they spat upon Him. When He was there with the Caiaphas and then with those rulers that came and spoke, they spat on Him there. So we see the return of that word again in regard to our Savior in the future. And so we'll look at that, Lord willing, next time. Father, I thank You for the opportunity we've had tonight to meet together and to pray, bring these students before Thee and our teachers and these special prayer requests. And we would just ask, dear Father, that You would bring glory and praise unto Yourself in the answering of them. We pray for those with serious appointments tomorrow, for Pat, for Mike. I ask, dear Lord, that You would undertake for them as they meet with surgeons and doctors, and we pray that You would just grant wisdom and understanding and clarity in their cases. And we pray, Father, that You'd be pleased to undertake for them. We ask now Your blessings as we go our way. Watch over our flock, and I pray, Father, that we might honor Thee by giving Your word to those that are lost in our neighborhoods and our conversations with friends, family. Help us to always be mindful to share the truth of Jesus Christ, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.